Okay, so you're given a sheet on the way in, and on one side is the passage I want us to think about for a while this morning, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 3. And then on the other side is just an outline of what I'm going to be talking about this morning, so you know what we're, where we are and what we're doing. So Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 3. We've acknowledged this morning, haven't we, just how much we have to be thankful for. Life is so full of blessings. We live in a land of plenty. We've got plenty of food. Our shops are full. Our cupboards are full, at least most of the time. And we're blessed. We are blessed, aren't we? So much to be thankful for. One thing that does get mentioned quite a lot these days is how much food costs. It's all going up, isn't it? I mean, even at Lidl's, it's going up. I mean, at least one of the upsides of all our children flying the nest is that at least our food bills are going down a bit. Although Lois still has quite a good appetite, but so with prices going up, it's great, isn't it, when you find a bargain. It's great when you find a bargain. I love going, you know, rummaging through that little refrigerated section in the supermarket where they chuck everything that's going out of date, you know, and they've not knocked off, and you can, they all chucked in together, and you can have a rummage around. You never quite know what you might find in there. I mean, most of it's, you know, that yellowy fish stuff that, no, you know, not surprised nobody's had it, but you might find a bargain. But here in this Bible passage in Isaiah chapter 55, someone's selling something for free, okay? It's not just a bit of discount. It's not just a bit off because it's going out of date. It's just free. Water, food, wine, milk, for free. Of course, in Isaiah's day, 700 BC or so, there weren't any supermarkets. Lidl's didn't exist. And so there was you go down the marketplace, wouldn't you? And there'd be stalls, there'd be people trying to sell you their goods. And that's the picture here, a market seller. And he's trying to get our attention. Ho, he says. Stop, listen, look. He's got something to sell us, something to give us. And in this Bible passage, God is using this picture then of a market seller. We can all understand that. You children can understand this picture this morning. God wants to get our attention. He wants to stop. He's got something to offer us, okay? Not just food and water and wine and milk for our physical needs. He's addressing our souls. Do you see that there? It says, it speaks about the soul, doesn't it? In verse 3, your soul. He's addressing our spiritual needs and thirsts. He's offering to meet that this morning. So the Bible makes clear what we all really know, that we're not just physical beings. We're not just molecules and DNA and atoms. You're not just a thing. You're a person, aren't you? You're a being, a human being, made, the Bible says, in the image of God, with spiritual needs. And that means you've been made to know God and to have a relationship with God and to be loved by God and to love God and to nothing less than God, and his love and his truth can satisfy that thirst. Now, the Bible's big picture is that we've lost that relationship with God because of our sin, because we've wandered away from God. We've made other gods. We want God's good gifts, but we don't want him. And so that relationship's spoiled. But in this passage, in this scene, God is inviting us back, okay? He's inviting us back. He's offering us new life, food for our souls that we can live. Wow, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? So let's just think about that for a moment together this morning. Two headings, an amazing invitation and a wonderful promise. So an amazing invitation. So in these words then, it's God speaking, inviting us to stop and listen and consider. Don't just walk by, he's saying. Ho, anyone who thirsts. Now, 700 years after Isaiah wrote these words, Jesus stood in the streets of Jerusalem. You've got the words there on that passage from John chapter 7. And Jesus, knowing Isaiah, I mean, Jesus knew Isaiah back to front. Knowing Isaiah, shouts out these words, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." So let's think about, first of all, who is this invitation to? It's important to know, isn't it? There's an invitation. Are you invited? Are you on the invitation list? Well, look at those words. Two types of people are addressed. The thirsty and the poor. Do you see that? First of all, the thirsty. Everyone who thirsts. Now, thirst speaks of at least two things, okay? Thirst speaks of need and longing. So it speaks of need. A person who's thirsty is in need. Your children can understand that, can't you? In need of water. We all need water, don't we? Without water, we're in great trouble. Without water, we'll soon die. Apparently, about 60% of your body is water. 75% of your brain is water. I think for some of us, the percentages are higher. But, you know, we need water, don't we? We need water. And God is making an offer to the needy. And as we've said, this is really about our souls, okay? So this is about being spiritually needy. So the Bible pictures us all by nature as being in great need spiritually. Our sin cuts us off from God. We're moral, accountable beings made in the image of God. There's a judgment day coming. We're in danger of being eternally cut off from God. We're in need. We're perishing. I mean, that's a serious thing, isn't it? And then thirst also speaks of longing, doesn't it? A person who's thirsty, well, you know what it's like to be thirsty, don't you? It's unsatisfied. There's your needs. There's a longing, you're unfulfilled. And the Bible often uses this picture of thirst to picture people trying to live without God, trying to live without Jesus. So Jesus says, is anyone thirsty? Anyone unsatisfied? Anyone longing for something more? Something this world can't give? Now we see that thirst all around us, don't we? Because we've got so much, and yet we long for more. And people who make it to the top and fulfill all their goals still feel unsatisfied. Perhaps you're like that this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning and there's a thirst in you, a longing for you, and a dissatisfaction in you. Why is that? Well, you might give me a whole list of things. You might say, well, if only this was different in my life and that was different, if only this was better. But do you know what the Bible says? There's only one thing that's going to really deal with your thirst, and it's God himself. Because you were made for God and made to know God. And perhaps you're trying to live without God or far away from God. And God's put eternity in your heart. And you are made to find your all in him. So the offer is to everyone who thirsts. But it's not only an offer to the thirsty, it's to the poor. Do you notice that? It goes on, doesn't it? Anyone who thirsts comes to all. And you who have no money. See that? So the people this seller cries out to, not only are they in need of water, they've got no money to buy it with. I mean, the one thing they have need of, they can't buy. They're poor. They've got nothing with which to obtain that water or food. I was thinking, as I was thinking about that this last couple of days, how terrible it must be to be like that with physically, isn't it? I mean, there are people around, you know, to have a need for you, for yourself and your family, for food and water, and just not have anything to buy it with. I mean, that's a horrible thing, isn't it? How thankful we should be that we've got food and we've got money and we can buy. But you see, the Bible's saying that spiritually we're all like that. We're poor. We can't buy our salvation. We can't earn God's favor or heaven. We're bankrupt spiritually before God. We're in debt. We've got a debt with God we can't pay. And yet still God says, come, you haven't got any money? You're poor, you're bankrupt, doesn't matter, come. Because Jesus, listen to this, has paid already. That's the whole heart of the Bible's message. That at the cross, our sins, our debts are paid. Life is secured by Jesus. He stands in our place. He deals with our sin. He reconciles us to God. So we can come freely, even though we're poor, even though we haven't got anything. Even though we're in need. So who's the invitation to? The thirsty and the poor. Indeed, Jesus says, anyone. And what are we invited to do? Okay, we need to know that, don't we? What does it say? Come to the waters. Did you notice in that first verse of Isaiah 55, three times, come, come, come. In other words, it wasn't enough for these people to be near the stall or to just hear it. They needed to come and drink. That's a really wonderful word. Jesus used it often. So he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me. Anyone thirsty? Come to me. And we've got it here, haven't we, in our text. Come to the waters. In other words, here's a stall that can deal with your greatest needs. They're thirsty. They're in need of water. Well, come. And there's plenty of it. Come to the waters, it says, isn't it? There's enough for everybody. Whoever's thirsty can come and drink. But look at John 7. Because when Jesus says this, what does he say? He doesn't say, if anyone thirsts, let him come to the waters, does he? He doesn't say that. What does Jesus say? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You see, when it comes to our spiritual thirst, our spiritual need, it's only Jesus who can meet that. It's only because of who he is and because of what he's done. He's the only one who can deal with our sin and bring us to God through his death on the cross. So we've got to come to Jesus to meet our spiritual thirst and our spiritual bankruptcy and our spiritual need. Because we need more than this stuff here. We need food for our souls. Now you go, what does it mean to come to Jesus here? I mean, isn't he in heaven? I mean, how can I come to Jesus? Well, look at John 7. What does it say? It says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And how does it go on? He who believes in me. So that tells us what it means to come to him. It means to believe in him, to trust him, in other words. That he is the Son of God, that he's the Savior of sinners, that he's died for our sins, that he's risen from the dead. Believe that, trust him, trust your life to him, trust everything to him. Turn from your sin and come to him. That's what it means. Now, if you don't know very much about Jesus, then you need to read about him and read about his life. And down the front there, there's copies of the Gospel of Luke, one of the accounts of Jesus' life. You can take that away with you afterwards and read it. And it's free, like this gospel offer. You can take it and read, because you need to know about Jesus, because he's the only one who can say, come to me and find mercy. And it's free. Just come with empty hands. Don't pretend. Don't try and bargain with him. Just come as you are. And that's the invitation then. A wonderful and amazing invitation. Secondly then, a wonderful promise. I say, what's promised to those who come? You want to say, Hugh, if I come to Jesus, if I come to him, if I ask him to save me, what will happen? Well, look at the verse. Look at verse 3. Two promises to point out. He says, incline your ear, come to me, hear, and your soul will live. Do you see that? It says, your soul will live. So that's what's being promised, is life to the soul, spiritual life, what the Bible calls eternal life, okay? Jesus said once, I've come that they may have life, they may have it in all its fullness, abundantly, life as it's meant to be. I mean, people do say, don't they? You hear them say, oh, there must be more to life than this. When life sucks and when it's difficult and when the daily grind of life, there must be more to life than this. Actually, sometimes people say it, don't they? When they've reached the top and fulfilled all their goals and they still feel unsatisfied. And they go, well, there must be more than this. And there is. You see, what does it mean to live? Well, as I've said, it means to know God and to live in relationship with God and to know him. We'd be made in the image of God. I mean, it is amazing to be a human being. It is amazing how we've been created. We've been created in the image of God to create and to appreciate and to communicate with each other. We've been made moral, accountable beings. We've got a sense of right and wrong, a sense of justice. We've been made to know and be known, to love and be loved, made for relationship. I mean, we're incredible. And ultimately, we're made for a relationship with God, that we might know him and love him and live in this world and enjoy all the good things he gives us, but in relationship with him. That's what life is. True, real life. And it's wonderful, and it's glorious. It's interesting, isn't it, that the seller isn't just offering water. I mean, I love water. It's lovely, isn't it? But it's good that he's offering food, and he's offering wine, and he's offering milk. In the Bible, wine is often used to picture happiness and joy. And milk is used to picture sort of nourishment and fulfillment. And this is saying, you come to Jesus, and he meets all your needs, and he brings joy to your heart, and he satisfies your soul. So Jesus said, perhaps your children know this, he said to me, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. So that's the promise then. Life, eternal life. Life now, knowing the Lord, hope of heaven, and a place in a new world to come. So much more than I can tell you about this morning. And God is ready to commit himself to that, okay? In that promise. You see how the verse 3 ends? You might find this a bit strange. It says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David, or like the mercies shown to David. So a covenant is a binding promise, isn't it? It's a commitment. And God made one with this man, David. David's a man in the Bible, in the Old Testament. He was a king, and God set his love on him and made promises to him. And right at the end of David's life, he says, God's made a covenant with me, an everlasting covenant with me. It's my salvation. It's my hope. And so God commits himself to show you that love and that mercy and that grace, to forgive your sins and to give you peace with God. And he commits himself to do that so you can trust him with it. That's what's promised, life and love, okay, for everyone and anyone here this morning. So the question is, will you come to the waters? Will you come? Will you come? Look at verse 2 with me a moment. Look at the beginning of verse 2. There's a question asked, isn't there? Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? In other words, the seller's going, why are you spending money on junk food? Why are you spending money why are you just spending all your time on physical things and not on those things which are eternal? And so Jesus invites us to come to him and find life and peace and pardon in him. So we're so thankful, aren't we, for all the good things that God gives us. But he invites us to so much more. To true life. To true peace. To true hope. To be able to enjoy all the good things of life in relationship with him. So that's the invitation to you and to me this morning. To just pray. To just cry it to God. To have mercy upon us, and that we might know that our souls delighting in abundance today. If you want to chat more about any of the things I've spoken about, I'm very happy to talk afterwards, because we want everyone to enjoy this life that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ.